This is Charlotte Talks. I'm Mike Collins. Chances are when you got up this morning, you kept to a routine that ultimately took you to your job, and you knew exactly what that job would entail and where it would be. But that is not the case for everyone who got up this morning. There are a lot of people who find their way to a parking lot or a corner somewhere and wait to hear what job might be available. They are day laborers, and evidently there are a lot of them in the Charlotte area, and not all of them are men. Obviously, it isn't an easy life, and there are many life factors that may contribute to individuals needing day-to-day contract work. So this hour, we take a look at who these people are, what jobs are out there for them, and the challenges they face in getting those jobs and getting to those jobs. In fact, we're joined by Faith Josephs, the Worker Center Coordinator for the Latin American Coalition. Good morning. Welcome.
Thank you.
And Julian Arcila is Executive Director of the Hispanic Contractors Association of the Carolinas. Thank you for joining us as well.
Thank you for having me.
Before we talk about day laborers and what they're all about and who they are, let's talk about you folks. The Latin American Coalition and specifically the Worker Center coordination part of that. Talk about that organization.
So the Latin American Coalition is a nonprofit here in Charlotte, and we serve the Latino and immigrant population. And we have a variety of different services and programs at the coalition. Specifically, the Worker Center is serving anyone who is a worker. Folks who are looking for jobs, folks who are looking to improve their professional development and get more education so as to get a better job. So we have different programs, workshops to help folks work on their resumes and learn about how to prepare for an interview. We also have workshops on basic labor laws, some education to help folks be better workers in the state of North Carolina. And then we also have a small business program for people wanting to start their own businesses. And we have a labor rights program as well when folks have had a situation of labor abuse in the workplace.
Okay, all of which, many of those things we'll be talking about in the course of this hour, as a matter of fact. The Hispanic Contractors Association, I had never heard of you guys before, so welcome and tell me who you are and what you're all about.
Well, thank you, Mike. The Hispanic Contractors Association is a nonprofit organization created in 2007. And basically what we do is that we represent the Hispanic construction entrepreneurs in the Carolinas. We deal specifically with business owners. And what we do, I can summarize it in the five promises. The first promise for our members is that we will help them to identify potential and reliable business partners. The second is that we will provide education to help them to improve their professional skills every day. The third is that we will help them to network, and we will create networking opportunities for them with potential business partners, public organizations, and different entities. The fourth is that we will be their guides for whatever thing they will need from our organization. If they have any questions in how to comply with a requirement, with a legal requirement, we will help them with that. And the fifth promise is that we will advocate on their behalf with public and private entities.
Are some of the Hispanic contractors that you deal with some of the people who are hiring the day laborers?
I can tell you that, but what I can tell is that our members are very interested and open to hire workers. Today is a lack of skilled trade people in the Carolinas, and we can talk about it later in the program, but we don't know if they are going to that specific location to hire them. But I know that the lack of skilled workers is a constant need and something that our members are always mentioning in the meetings.
How many people are we talking about? When we talk about this group of day laborers who show up on street corners and parking lots every morning to find out what might be available for them to do, how many people are we talking about?
So here in Charlotte, on any given morning, there might be from 20 to 50 people out there on the corner. Earlier in the morning, you might see more, but by 12 o'clock, 2 o'clock, usually there's no more than five people out there because they've gotten picked up. They've gotten jobs for the day.
Is it the same people every day?
it's kind of the same mix of about 60 folks who are usually out there, but sometimes only 20 of them are there. The next day, 30 of them might be there.
Is that because if you come on a Monday, for instance, the job may take you through Wednesday, and so there are fewer people on Tuesday because you're going back to that same job site?
Sometimes that's the case, that they'll end up getting a job that takes place over the course of a few days, but it's always different, is what they've said to us.
And who is doing the hiring?
Many different contractors. Sometimes it is small or larger construction businesses. Sometimes it is someone who is moving and needs help moving their furniture, or someone who wants their lawn cut. I have people calling me even at the coalition saying, hey, I'm moving next week, or I'm doing a big project in my yard. Where can I find the day laborers to hire?
And you mentioned, Julian, that there is a shortage of skilled workers in the Carolinas. So if we have contractors going to these locations, hiring day laborers, how do they qualify those day laborers to do the work that they need to have done? In other words, if somebody's building a house or doing a fix-up project at somebody's house, and I've hired this contractor to do it, and he's going to the parking lot to pick up workers, how do I know the people he's bringing into my house are qualified to do the work?
That is a very interesting topic. Typically, when you are hiring a contractor, you are expecting that that contractor is working with qualified people.
Mm-hmm.
What we know at the Hispanic Contractors Association is that the members are hiring people they know are capable to do the job. They know how to how to do plaster, how to install drywall. Very well how to paint a wall. They are good roofers, and that may be you know the most important challenge for these people. You know, to be able to prove mm-hmm. that they have the skills and the requirements to be hired.
And since you work with contractors and entrepreneurs, if I'm a contractor and I find somebody who can do the job, why do I need to go back to these parking lots in the morning at 7 o'clock and find people to do the job? I've already found a couple of people that I like a lot. I know they're qualified. They do good work. Why wouldn't I just keep turning to them?
Unfortunately, sometimes people aren't looking to establish a long-term relationship. That is like the simplest answer.
They are not looking.
They are not looking for a long-term relationship.
That's I find that troubling. Why not?
Sometimes people, they just need somebody to do a specific work one day, because they had one employee that was sick,
mm-hmm.
Somebody that couldn't attend the job site for any particular reason, and they need somebody to replace that person. And they will go to those places and say, hey, I need somebody right now to help me with drywall, or help me with roofing, or with flooring. But tomorrow, when your worker is back, you're going to continue working with your worker.
The way this is done makes it sound kind of specious to a lot of people, because having just strangers congregate on a street corner or in a parking lot, and we'll talk about where these things take place, and having contractors come or other people doing the hiring coming and just picking and choosing, it sounds like something out of the 1920s to me. It sounds very, very old-fashioned. Why is it done this way? Why do they need these workers? Why do they choose these workers in this manner?
So, you know, I agree with what you're saying in a lot of ways. And it's true that day labor, being a day laborer, is not new to the U.S. in any way. Day laborers have been
going on
for
forever.
A long time.
Yes.
Exactly. And you will find day laborers in the majority of the major cities around the U.S. And so it's interesting thinking about this idea of why is it happening in this way. And from what we've heard specifically from the day laborers here in Charlotte is that for them, rather than having working a factory job where maybe they're making minimum wage, they don't get any sick days, they could get fired at any time, they would rather choose to be finding work on a day-to-day basis as a day laborer, where they have a little bit more independence. They can negotiate their wages.
And some have said it gives them greater dignity.
Exactly.
Well, that explains their motivation for going to these places and trying to get hired. It does not explain the motivation of the people doing the hiring. Why don't they go through temp agencies? Why haven't they developed their own list of people who've dropped off resumes at their offices, be they a contractor or a lawn service or whatever? Why are they going out at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock in the morning every day to pick up new people?
So we're hearing a little bit of what the Hispanic Contractors Association is saying. We're hearing some similar things like that on a regular basis. Again, we have contractors and employers calling our office saying, I need construction workers, I need cleaners, I need a variety of different workers. Where can I find them? So we do notice that there does seem to be this shortage of workers. And at the same time, although we don't know the exact level of the skills of the guys on the street corner, these are workers who have years and years of experience in different areas, and they all know what their expert level of expertise is.
And who are these people? In other words, they're not just Latinos or Hispanics. There are people from all walks of life, African-Americans, white people, you name it. They're out there looking for work because that's either they need the work and they've lost a job and this is how they get it, or as you say, they prefer to do it this way because it gives them greater freedom. Are most of them Latino, Hispanic, or immigrants?
So it's a combination of folks out there on the corner. They all range in about from about age 20 to 40, 50 years old. And many of them are Latino, are from different Latin American countries. And then there are also the African American guys. Mm-hmm. And one of the neatest things that I've heard them say when they're out there is they've said, out here, we are all brothers. There is not a difference, even though some of us only speak Spanish.
But they're in competition. They're in competition with each other. Because if you get the job, I didn't.
So actually, the way that they've explained it to us is that, as I was stating, that they know who's skilled in what areas. And sometimes a contractor will come up to one of them and say, hey, I need a painter. And they'll say, you know what? That's not really my level of expertise. Why don't you go over and talk to these other guys? Yeah. So more we see them collaborating and working together.
We keep using the word guys. It's not just men, is it?
So I use the word guys all the time because out there on the street corner in Charlotte, it is mostly men.
Mostly men.
We have had them say, you know, every now and then there is a woman out here, and we know that in other groups of day laborers around the U.S. there are women, but I do use the word guys a lot because that's all I've seen here.
And
so
this
far
is not a Charlotte phenomenon. It's been going on for years, and it's been going on around the country, and it continues to go on around the country. And I read an article in the New York Times yesterday about this, that there's a population of Hasidic Jews in, I think, Queens, New York. And women line up on the street corners in the morning because, particularly near the Sabbath, because the women have a tremendous, women who run the houses of their families have a tremendous amount of work to do to get ready for the Sabbath, and they hire day laborers to help them clean the house before the Sabbath. So it's not just a Charlotte thing, it's a nationwide thing. Is there a difference in the culture in the United States and Latino culture in terms of family sticking together, taking care of each other, extended families, where this kind of labor becomes part and parcel of life, the lifestyle, the ability to be able to support that kind of culture?
So I think one thing that I've heard, again, the day laborers say to us is they've said, we're here and we're here to work. Mm-hmm. The majority, you know, many of them do have families and support their families, and many of them have said that their wives, their partners are working full-time as well. And so there is definitely the idea that they are passionate about being able to have dignified work and being able to support their families. There's also this tendency towards wanting some more independence. We see both among the day laborers and then also looking at the number of Latino businesses and Latino-owned businesses here in Charlotte and around the country as well.
Faith Josephs is the Worker Center Coordinator for the Latin American Coalition. Julian Arcila is Executive Director of the Hispanic Contractors Association of the Carolinas. We're coming right back. Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and Community Blood Center of the Carolinas, local nonprofit blood center serving 27 local hospitals. The need for over 400 units of blood per day continues through the summer months. Appointments at cbcc.us. The tragic shooting at that church in Charleston set off a nationwide conversation about the meanings of symbols of the Confederacy, including memorials. Some of those memorials have been defaced in the wake of that shooting, and recently Governor McCrory signed legislation that would ban the removal of Civil War era monuments without prior approval. So how many such monuments are out there? Who put them there? When? Why? And what do they really mean today? We'll take a look at that tomorrow at 9.
On the next Diane Rehm Show, 11 million Americans could see their disability benefits slashed next year if Congress fails to take action. The White House and Republican lawmakers have opposing solutions. Social Security's Disability Fund and how to keep the problem solvent.
That's the Diane Rehm Show, coming up next from 10 to noon, right after Charlotte Talks, on listener-funded public radio, where 90.7 WFAE.
It's Charlotte Talks on listener-funded 90.7 WFAE and 90.3 WFHA. I'm Mike Collins. We're talking about day laborers in Charlotte with Faith Josephs and Julian Arcila from the Latin American Coalition and the Hispanic Contractors Association of the Carolinas. As I mentioned, these folks, these day laborers, meet up in a specific place every morning. The contractors, the people doing the hiring, be they contractors or something else, come to that same place. Where are these places? Are they multiple places, or are they one particular place in Charlotte?
So in Charlotte, the main gathering place is right on North Wendover Road, right at North Wendover and Beale Street. It's right in front of the park, right up the street from the Food Lion.
How did that come to be?
So it's because of the Home Depot being in that area. So the day laborers in Charlotte have been there for, you know, some of them say they've been gathering in that general area for 15 or 20 years. So because contractors go to the Home Depot to get materials or whatever they need for the different jobs, it's been the most convenient location for the day laborers to be in. And they have been moved around from different empty lots to different parking lots where they've been given permission for a small period of time to be there, but then they've had to move again. And that's the issue that they're facing again right now, that the empty lot that they're currently in is the federal post office is about to open there. And so, again, they're about to be pushed out from their current location.
So how do they figure out from day to day where to go? How do you know?
So they stay. I mean, they're staying in this current location every day. They're out there on the same sidewalk. You know, you can drive by and you'll see them there, kind of all gathered. And the police go out on a pretty regular basis and say, "Hey, you need to stay on this one sidewalk. You can't be on the property. You need to make sure you keep it clean." And we actually have been collaborating with some officers from CMPD as well, because they've said, you know, we know that these guys are out here to work, and we don't want to give them citations. We don't want to arrest them, because that's not going to help their situation at all. However, you know, we need to work with them, and those officers are also working with, you know, the Latin American Coalition, so that we can try and find a better space for them to be.
Julian.
And yeah, what Faith said is very true. When I came to Charlotte, I remember that one of the first things I heard was, you know, there is a congregation of workers in Wendover for that time in the Home Depot. So it's pretty famous. Like, everybody knows in Charlotte, you know, where you can find the workers. But one important thing that we've been talking about this topic is we've been wanting and we want to set up a partnership with the Latin American Coalition, because one important thing for these workers is also to be able to identify reliable business partners. Because as you know, and as Faith knows, there have been several cases where these employees or these day workers haven't been paid after doing the work, and that is not just at all. So what we're trying to do is how can we connect those workers and the skilled workers with people who can hire them and who are reliable, people who you can reach out to in case that there is any inconvenience. Now, one important thing to keep in mind is also the project. There are many projects that have a lot of requirements, specifically those in federal locations or military bases. And some of our members are already working for mm-hmm. the military in Fort Bragg, in Fayetteville. Mm-hmm. So those type of projects, and when you are working for the federal government, there are a lot of screens you need to go through. and all your workers need to be, you know, screened in order to be eligible to work there. But there are other projects where you don't need that.
And are they being screened for security purposes? Are they being screened for their skills and expertise level?
Background checks.
Background checks.
Yes.
That would include, one would imagine, their documentation as people being legally in the country. Is that correct?
Yes, and I brought this topic because it is important that we manage expectations with people, that we tell, you know, there are projects where you can work, and when they reach out to the Hispanic Contractors Association, and once we start working together, that there are things we can do, and there are other things we cannot do. Because there are many different regulations.
I want to talk about all that in a couple of seconds. Is there a common thread running through the lives of the people who choose to work this way or who need to work this way because they can't work in a more traditional, they can't find work in a more traditional way? Is there a common thread running through their lives?
I will say yes. You know, one thing that will concern me if I had to go to work to a place like this is I don't know who I will be speaking with tomorrow.
Yeah.
So I don't know what are the conditions under I will be working. So definitely, you know, there is a risk for them. But what do you say, Yvette?
I want to come back to something I think you said, Faith, and that is that a lot of people choose to do this because it gives them more control over their lives. And I think a lot of people who are more fortunate than the people who are in those parking lots at 7 o'clock in the morning looking for work don't understand that if they took traditional entry-level minimum wage jobs, they get no benefits, they would get no sick days. If their child is ill and can't go to school that day and somebody needs to stay home with them, they couldn't not go to their job. They'd have to go there and the child would be alone. This way they can forego a day of work if they are sick or their child is sick and take care of them. This seems, I mean, they lose a day of income, but they have the freedom to do that. That's a benefit, but it's a terrible thing to have to think about, isn't it?
Right. It's definitely, I think it's a challenge, but we also, many kind of when you're talking about this idea of also a common thread, is that many of the folks out in the corner, you know, may have specific barriers. Oftentimes it's limited English skills. Mm-hmm. And that can also limit them on their professional opportunities, even though many of them are very experienced in sheetrock or have extensive landscaping skills or irrigation skills. And so many of them can also find that they end up making a better living by being a day laborer than if they worked a minimum wage job.
And the point is that when you go to a full-time job where you are being offered, you know, your minimum wage, these guys have the opportunity to go and negotiate their wage. So I think they see that there is an opportunity for them to make a higher income, you know, standing there.
Obviously, everybody wants everybody to be employed, to be gainfully employed, because it's the best thing for everybody concerned. It's the best thing for the person looking for work. It's the best thing for the person hiring them because they get somebody to do the job. It's the best thing for society at large because these people are not necessarily on welfare. But how many of these people are here legally, and is that checked by the people doing the hiring?
So it's a combination of the folks who are out there. Among the day laborers, there's a large population that is undocumented, and then there are also many folks who are residents, who have work permits. There are also the African American guys who were born and raised here. So it is a combination, of the folks who are out there. And
does anyone check?
No, legal status. Contractors going out there are not.
They don't.
Are
they at risk for not checking?
So the labor laws in North Carolina state that if you have 25 or more employees, your workers need to pass through the E-Verify law, which is to check and see if.
But are they employees or are they contract laborers? Are they considered employees technically?
Not usually. No.
Is that how they get around it? So because some of them are not legal here, it would seem to weaken their ability aid to negotiate and to protect themselves from people who might be preying on that. And that includes the people who are hiring them. They may be preying on these people, knowing that they have a weakened legal status. How often is that a problem?
I think that a lot of exploitation ends up happening because of that, because employers feel like they can say, I know that you do not have documents, and can end up exploiting a worker for that reason. However, again, the North Carolina labor laws state that all workers, regardless of immigration status, mm-hmm. have the basic right to be paid for the work that they complete, to work in a safe environment, and work in an environment that is free of discrimination.
And that even happens at a contractor level, because when you we have received in the past some testimonials from potential members or business owners who haven't been paid after completing a work for established corporations. And what they say, like the first argument is, say, you know what, you didn't finish this job well. So, but when you go and take a look, you know, the job was finished. And they say, but what you mean by saying that I didn't complete the job correctly? And they say, well, you know, yeah, I didn't like this. And if you don't leave, I will call the police because you may be an undocumented immigrant. Hmm. And you know, in most of the cases, what we've heard is that the member says, no, I have my documents. What do you want to call the police for? But in this case, as you said, Faith, it is right. North Carolina labor law says that everybody, regardless of their immigration status, is able to be protected by the law. And we have been solving some of those cases.
Well, I was going to ask, there obviously, because of that law in North Carolina, there are obviously some legal protections for these people, and yet they are taken advantage of. Is that because they don't know that those legal protections are in place, or because they can't afford to exercise those legal protections? Because obviously it would require probably legal aid of some sort.
I think it's a combination of both. We have a workshop that we do on a weekly basis that is a labor rights education workshop, where we talk about, you know, what are some of the basic rights that workers have. And we also strive to educate employers on these as well. But a lot of times there is this fear or the need where workers say to us, I need my job. So I can't, you know, I'm not sure if I make a complaint or if I come and talk to you about it, if that's going to end up getting me in trouble. And again, we can let them know that the basic laws in North Carolina state that they have protection if they make a complaint. But there's still a lot of fear regarding that when having a job is their main priority.
What kind of other protections are in place for people who find this work this way? What happens if they get hurt on the job? Are there protections for them there? Are they covered medically? Are they will they get paid for the day, et cetera, if they have to leave the job because they got hurt?
So that depends a lot on the employer that they're working for, if a employer or a contractor does have workers' compensation, but then also if the worker chooses to report it or not.
Why would they not report it?
A lot of times they won't report it, again, out of fear mm-hmm. that they may not get, you know, be able to continue working in that job.
Or if they report it, they won't get hired again.
Exactly.
Hmm. Or sometimes it's also fear to face legal actions for their, in case if they are undocumented workers. Mm-hmm. Sometimes people just don't know, and some others, they are just afraid to report one of these cases because they are afraid that the immigration authorities are going to deport them, is what I've heard.
So let's flip the coin. As a homeowner or a business owner, and you hire a contractor who then goes out and hires his workers or her workers in this fashion, are these people coming into your home, these people coming into your business, bonded and insured so that you aren't sued for whatever happens? Or what legal protections do you, as the people hiring the contractor, have if the contractor is going out to get his employees this way?
Should still be the responsibility of the contractor in most cases.
And is that in most cases what's happening?
In our case, in the HCAC, what we do is that we provide education and we work closely with our members to ensure that they are that they have their insurance in place, mm-hmm. that they are learning about the advantages and how to obtain a bond. But I will say that most of our members are bonded and insured.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are these people that are being hired on a day-by-day basis, are they being hired under the table, or are the traditional papers being filed for taxes and Social Security on these people by the people doing the hiring?
So most of the hiring that goes on at the corner is all under the table, because these are workers who are looking to get one job for a day. Oftentimes that might be what the contractor is looking for as well, and they're looking to be paid that same day. And so, again, in our educational workshops that we give, we always talk about the importance of day laborers and these workers saving 15% of their wages so that they'll be prepared to pay taxes at the end of the year.
Well, if they're being paid under the table, why would they pay taxes? Why would they declare it?
Just like any other worker who gets paid under the table in the U.S., they understand the importance of paying taxes. They have W-7s. They have tax identification numbers. And so they recognize the importance of being a resident of North Carolina.
But are the people doing the hiring breaking the law by doing this way?
So I think that's up to the contractors, whether, how they're hiring workers, whether they're paying under the table or not.
Are most of the contractors small business entrepreneurs, not necessarily Hispanic or Latino entrepreneurs, just small business people, or are they big companies that go out and get day laborers like this?
But just to answer your last question, Mike, one of the things that we always work with our members is that to ensure that they understand the responsibilities they have as business owners,
right,
and that they understand the importance of having an accountant and paying their taxes to avoid sanctions. Mm-hmm. And that is something we always work with our members. And what was your last question again?
You're going to throw me a curveball, aren't you? I think it was that...
Whether it's small businesses contractors.
Yeah, are they small businesses? Or
day laborers.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like most of the... It depends on what you think a small business is. A small business is a company hiring or having a low amount of people on payroll or hiring a lot of workers. It depends on what you want to mean with the word a small business. Okay. But in our case, most of our businesses, our members, they have like 4 to 5 payroll employees, and sometimes they hire up to 80, contractors.
But I guess the better way to express that question would have been to say, are these people doing the hiring from organizations that most of us would recognize, or are they literally sole proprietorships and small entrepreneurships that just do pickup jobs and handiwork here and there and everywhere, as opposed to major corporations who hire people like this?
There are different levels in the construction industry. Mm-hmm. And there is traditionally the large general contractor that is the general manager of the construction project. Mm-hmm. But there are different layers and tiers, mm-hmm, of contracting. So there is a prime subcontractor that is also a first-tier contractor, second tier, and third tier. And I will say, maybe I'm wrong, but most of the contractors doing the hiring are second-tier subcontractor or third-tier looking for labor.
Julian Arcila is Executive Director of the Hispanic Contractors Association of the Carolinas. Faith Joseph is the Worker Center Coordinator for the Latin American Coalition. And we're talking about the phenomenon of day laborers and those who hire them in Charlotte. Perhaps you've done this yourself or know about this. You can reach us on Twitter or Facebook or by email. And we'll come back and talk more about this in a moment at Charlotte Talks on WFAE. Support for Charlotte Talks comes from WFAE members and Black Hawk Hardware, located in the Park Road Shopping Center, locally owned and mismanaged since 1977. Black Hawk, where hardware, home, and garden meet. Info at blackhawkhardware.com. And he estimated 11 million Americans could see their disability benefits slashed next year if Congress fails to take action. The White House and Republican lawmakers have opposing solutions. Social Security, Disability Fund, and how to keep the program solvent. The topic of the conversation coming up in 20 minutes at 10 o'clock on the Diane Rehm Show. If you'd like to join our conversation about day laborers in Charlotte, now's your chance. You can email us at charlottetalks@wfae.org or look for WFAE on Facebook or Twitter and join us that way. And we're coming right back.
I listen to Bullseye because I want to feel as passionately about things that I love as Jesse Thorne does. And his show's just become essential to me. Can't imagine not listening.
I'm Jesse Thorne. I'll talk to Liz Garbus about her new documentary, What Happened, Miss Simone, on the next Bullseye from MaximumFun.org and NPR.
Saturday night at 8 at 90.7 WFAE and WFAE.org.
It's Charlotte Talks on WFAE and WFHE. I'm Mike Collins. Faith Joseph is with us, the Worker Center Coordinator for the Latin American Coalition, and Julian Arcila, Executive Director of the Hispanic Contractors Association of the Carolinas. We're talking about day laborers in Charlotte and the fact that for years, and this is happening all over the country, but for years in Charlotte, they've been congregating in specific locations near Wendover Road and every morning trying to find work and finding work in many cases. How much do these jobs pay? Are they all minimum wage?
No. In fact, most of them are paying more than that. A lot of the guys out there have a fair amount of experience, mm-hmm. whether it's in painting or landscaping or construction, and so they're looking to be paid more like $10 to $15, sometimes $20 an hour.
And in these situations where they go out and they do the job, Julian, as you said, and they find out at the end of the job that the person who has hired them is reneging on paying them, they've refused to pay them, do they have any recourse?
Yeah, it depends on how they made the contract. But traditionally, what we know is that it depends on the amount of money that is involved.
But isn't it mostly verbal? I have this job to do. If you want to do it, we're going to be at this job site. It pays this much. And you say, okay, I'll do it. Let's go. And you go and you do it. And then they say, well, no, I didn't say that.
But in our case, in the Hispanic Contractors Association, most of the contracts are made even with a piece of paper. We always encourage our members to go fill the paperwork, just make the customer to sign any piece of paper.
But are all of the people doing the hiring out on Wendover Road members of the Hispanic Contractors Association?
Yeah.
They are? They're not all members.
I think that there are definitely sometimes you will see more formal, even out the corner, sometimes you will see contractors pull out paperwork. However, a lot more of the contracts there are, as you state, a verbal contract. And although a verbal contract still counts, it is so common that at the end of the day, a contractor says, oh, no, I never said I was going to pay you that much, or they just don't get paid at all. And then it is up to the day laborer. A lot of times what happens is they talk among themselves and they let each other know, hey, don't go work for that contractor anymore because he's not paying. And so then that contractor isn't going to be able to get workers from that site anymore.
How common is this? Is this the exception to the rule or does this happen a lot?
I mean, it's the exception. Otherwise, the guys wouldn't be out there every day finding work. But it happens, but it still happens on a regular basis more than they would like it to.
And are there laws in place in North Carolina to protect you against that from happening? In other words, if you have a verbal contract and somebody has avoided the terms of the agreement or refused to deal with the terms of the agreement after the fact, can you go after them?
So the laws do state that a verbal contract counts, but then what happens is that it ends up, they can take the case to court, either to small claims court or to criminal court, depending on how much it is. But then it just depends on how much proof each party has and the decision that the judge makes.
In reading about this, and this is happening, as I say, all over the country, I think I read a story about this happening in California, and somebody got up and said that this should stop because illegal immigrants are taking jobs away from legal American citizens. But could it also be argued that very few American citizens are going to get up at 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning and go to a street corner and hope to get a job and do the kinds of jobs that are being offered? Maybe they are, but anecdotally, what are you hearing?
Mm-hmm. So what we know is that the day laborers are ready and prepared to work on a daily basis. They are skilled, they have experience, and there is a need for workers right now. And so for that reason, and then also at the same time, the fact that there are some Latino immigrants out there, and there are also folks born and raised in the United States who are out there looking for these jobs as well.
And Mike, we look at this point from the perspective of the creation of a business, and we say, okay, how many Americans today are creating construction businesses or mm-hmm. are looking to go into that field of work. And we have seen studies that reveal that the millennials and the American kids that are in high school maybe are not very interested in the construction field. Mm-hmm. Most of them are interested in pursuing like white-collar jobs, like going to the college and things like that. So we see and we think that the future of the construction industry is relying in definitely in minorities. So I think Hispanics, African Americans are the communities creating more construction businesses today. And maybe that is reflecting also in the day labor arena.
Well, I understand that Hispanics will be the largest minority in the construction industry in the coming years. So there's strength in numbers, is there not? As you become more part of the industry and the bulk of the industry, you'll be calling the shots, won't you?
And that's part of the work we do by educating the mainstream community and telling the mainstream community is, you know, in a few years, Hispanic construction firms are going to be, you know, the predominant in the construction arena. So the better or the earlier you start building a relationship with this community, the better. Because it is important, you know, to understand each other mm-hmm. and to build that culture bridge mm-hmm. between both communities. And it is pretty right what you're saying.
You said earlier in our conversation, Julian, that there is a shortage in North Carolina of skilled workers, particularly in the construction business. And given I'm just curious about that, because given the incredible boom in construction we had prior to the recession, and what's beginning to happen again now in Charlotte particularly and probably elsewhere in the state, is it the fact that these skilled workers went away during the recession because there was no work for them?
Many.
Are they coming back, or are we training people? Because if there's a shortage, that means, well, it's a good news for those people who do have those skills because prices will go up for them, right?
Yes, absolutely, Mike. But you're right. What happened was that during the crisis in between 2008 and 2010, a lot of workers left mm-hmm. The state mm-hmm. and they moved to other regions such as Texas, Alabama. And once you are settled down and you are established in a region, you know, it's hard, you know, to go back, even if you're being told that there are opportunities in the region where you used to live. We see and we have a relationship with many large home builders and general contractors, and that is like a common claim they have. We don't get to find the right people for the work we have. And it's because when you are working at a large scale, at a professional level, you need people who definitely have proven track or a record of expertise in a trade. So it's not a large general contractor or a large home builder won't go out and say, hey, you know what? I need 5 people to go and build 1,000 houses that I need to build today. No, it's, you know, who are you? How long have you been in the business? What are your references? And what I was discussing with Faith at the beginning is in this region, the Southeast, it is who you know and who can tell and who can talk good on your behalf. Mm. And for these large and professional projects, these guys are requiring references and people who can speak good on your behalf.
So are the in these large professional projects that you're talking about where they're checking references, are they they're not the people that are going out and hiring day laborers, and the people they're hiring are not the day laborers. Is that right?
Yes, you're correct. They are not the ones hiring the
So when we talk about day laborers, should their references be checked, or are they doing different kinds of work that skill levels are not that important?
So this idea of, you know, as we're talking about a lack of workers or a lack of skilled workers, or really knowing, you know, what is the skill level of the workers, that's a big These are some of the issues as to why we are trying to create a more formalized worker center that would include the day laborers, because in that way, we would know and we would be able to hold people accountable to their level of experience and the skills and experiences that they have. There would be a more more consistency in terms of their level of work, and contractors would be able to understand that and have more consistency in the workers that they're hiring.
So you are trying to work toward developing this workers center for day laborers. What's involved in that?
So a worker center is also a model that is in a lot of different cities around the U.S., wherever there are day laborers. And so the idea of a worker center is to provide a space to create a mutually positive relationship between the workers and the employers. And so it's a space where dignity and value is placed on the work that the day laborers do. And at the same time, we're able to hold the employers accountable for their end.
So this would replace the street corner as a hiring place, perhaps?
Yes.
The contractors, people doing the hiring would come to your location. The workers would come to your location, and you would kind of supervise.
Exactly.
That's taking place in other parts of the country?
Yes. There are multiple worker centers in California, in New York.
Why not just open the doors tomorrow?
We would love to do that. However, this is a project we've been working on for over 5 years, and basically there are zoning issues at the Latin American Coalition, mm-hmm. so we cannot have the Day Laborer Center there. This is also something that the guys have been asking for. They've said, hey, when I was in...
The guys being the workers.
The workers. Okay. They've said, hey, when I lived in Alabama, when I lived in California, we had a worker center there. Why is there not one in Charlotte? And so that's why we're looking for a space where we would be able to have a worker center that includes the day laborers.
How valuable would this be for people in the Contractors Association, or not even in the Contractors Association, just people doing the hiring? Would they want to do this, or would they prefer to do it the way they do it now, where they can get away with murder if they want to?
No, I think from a business perspective, it is better, you know, to have a standardized procedures. So if the Latin American Coalition is offering a center where they are, like, at a certain point, registering potential workers, they know who they are, I think that is definitely going to be positive for everybody that is doing the hiring. And just to complement that with what question you said before, traditionally, these hirings, I can assume, are for remodeling and renovation projects. People who are, like, you know, running a change in their house, mm-hmm. it's like basically they go to those locations to find workers. It's basically, and also the industry, because if you are working more in the commercial side, you won't go there to find a worker to fill a gap while you're building a building. You know, it's a different type of
different
project.
Thing.
Yes.
Okay. Let me share with you some things that have come in from listeners as we've been talking. Tom emails, a couple of years ago, we hired a day laborer named Emilio to help us build retaining walls and a patio. He was a hardworking, self-motivated, and skillful guy. In addition, he was a very nice person. We ended up hiring him over and over and over and getting to know him a bit. He had 3 kids, one in the military, one at UNC, one in school in Charlotte. If we knew how to get in touch with Emilio, we would be delighted to hire him again. Now, there's a reference. Mm-hmm. Emilio, if you're out there listening, you should take him up on that. Mandy on Facebook, growing up in Waxhaw, there was always a group of men on the corner, many of them older, that waited daily for work. I remember asking my dad when I was little why they were always out there, and he told me they were waiting for someone to pick them up and give them work for the day. I knew the owners of construction businesses that gave these men work. It was just normal to see them. And Jim on Facebook writes, what about a free app that could connect not only the workers, but showcase their skills and location for that day? Employers could also use this as a search function to find someone they specifically needed. What about an app?
So there are websites out there that I've seen, but I haven't seen anything that's used very widely. And this is still a population. Yes, many of them have smartphones. Many of them don't. Many of the workers have flip phones mm-hmm. or don't really use cell phones even. And so I think it is still a population that is not very plugged in technologically at this point. And so in that sense, I don't think it would be very accessible.
Interesting. According to recent incidents, both in North Carolina and in stories that I've read in The Observer and also around the country in stories I've read in The Washington Post and other papers, Latinos continue to experience a high rate of work-related deaths and severe injuries as day labor. Is that because of the nature of the work that they're doing? Is it because they don't understand the safety precautions necessary? Is it because they're not provided with the safety equipment necessary to do the job? What's going on here?
I will say that, unfortunately, not many people or the people who have resulted injured in these cases, most of the time, they didn't want to use the protective gear that they were given. In our case, we conduct a lot of safety trainings for our members in Spanish, and we provide, you know, information on the latest safety regulation coming from OSHA, 10 hours, 30 hours. And we always are, you know, suggesting them, give your employees the construction and safety gear they need. But, you know, Hispanics, in the case of the construction industry, sometimes we think, you know, that won't happen to me. That happened to Carlos, but that won't happen to me because I am who I am.
The worker thinks
The workers thinks that way. And sometimes, you know, construction industry is a risky business.
Is that cultural? Is that because in the countries they came from and grew up in, those restrictions and regulations are not in place?
Definitely.
And so it's foreign to them when they are in place.
Definitely. And that's also part of our job. When we talk to our contractors, we say, this is America. This is a different country. There are different regulations here. You have to stick to you have to play by the rules here. In our countries, unfortunately, you know, we adopt many of the safety rules from the USA. Mm-hmm. But if you see like somebody is like working outside building a building, you know, it's like you don't really say a thing if you don't see him with the safety gear. But here is a different story.
Okay.
I also think, you know, it's...
I have to stop you because we're out of time. I'm sorry. Julian Arcila is Executive Director of the Hispanic Contractors Association of the Carolinas. And Faith Josephs, who got the last word, although she didn't get her point across, is the Worker Center Coordinator for the Latin American Coalition. Thanks for the hour.
Charlotte talks with Mike Collins.